what's the place that's at the top of your list? Is it a family camping trip, a cafe with some friends? Is it just a visit to the hairdresser? I decided this week that I couldn't wait. I've had enough. So Mez and I had a crack at cutting my hair, and I think we did a pretty good job. Look, I reckon it's all right. Results aren't too bad. So no more hairdresser for me, I don't think. But where is it that you want to go? A cheap Tuesday became a weekly tradition with my mates when we were in our late teens. The movies were half price, and so we'd go most weeks and watch pretty much whatever was on. And it wasn't always well planned. It'd usually start with a message on a Tuesday night, let's go to the movies. And while we'd take a while to sort out the details, the answer was always the same, yeah, let's go. It was a similar story after church on a Sunday night. There'd be that usual chat about where we would go, but at some point someone would say, let's go to Macca's. And inevitably people would say, yeah, let's go. Imagine for a moment that all the COVID restrictions are gone. You can do anything. You can go anywhere. What would be your gut reaction if someone said to you, hey, let's go to church? What would happen in your mind, in your heart, in your soul? What would you do? I get that it's a somewhat redundant question right now, but I'm wondering, where is your heart at? Where's your passion? How's your zeal and your conviction? Does gathering to worship excite you? Like, not just to come to church and see your friends, that will be great, but something more than that. Do you long to sing truth to one another, to pray together, to hear God's word? Are you keen to connect with God and with each other, to listen to God speak and respond to him, to celebrate who he is and what he's done, and to be sent out, be sent out into the world to love and serve God? If I said, let's go to church, what would you do? I think part of your answer would be based on what you thought you were going to get out of it. Because we're all looking for something. And if you're tuning into this, well, then you're probably hoping that church delivers, that you might get some encouragement or support, some teaching or wisdom, some peace or comfort. Wherever we're at, God has something to say to us tonight. Are you tired of doing church online? Or do you simply just long for in-person gatherings again? Well, Psalm 122 has a word of encouragement for you. Are you wondering what the significance of church community is, or why worship even matters? Well, there's a word of instruction here for you. Are you looking for peace or security, or perhaps a little bit of both? Well, there's a word of hope for you. This psalm is the third song of ascents, a series of songs that were sung by pilgrims on their way up to worship in Jerusalem. And we began with the first step, repentance, a yes to God and a no to the lies of the world, choosing to follow God. And then last week, we looked at providence, God's care and his protection of his people, our guardian God. But now we turn to a pivotal theme in the journey, to worship. And Psalm 122 begins with some people saying, let us go to the house of the Lord. And David, or at least that's who the psalm is ascribed to, well, David, he rejoices. Now, I can't emphasize that word enough. This is joy overflowing. This is his heart bursting out. He doesn't wait. He jumps in the car and he says, hey, come on, what are you guys waiting for? Let's go. But I get it. This is a tough time to be talking about going to church, like a physical gathering. I counted it up during the week. Night Church has met in person 27 times. In the last 79 weeks. So that's 52 weeks online, a whole year of talking to a camera in a near empty room, a whole year of sitting at home, or possibly on your own staring at a screen. I know it can be hard to engage with online church. Imagine trying to do it with a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. It's an experience, I'll tell you that. Online church, it is church though. But we're still gathering as God's people, but it's not the same. It's not really a substitute, but at the moment it's a necessary option. We've got another 5 weeks or so in lockdown, and who knows what comes after that. Did you tune in joyfully tonight? Did you message your friends and say, hey, join me online? I get it if you're tired of doing church online. I get it if you're pretty much done at this point. I spoke about joy a couple of weeks ago, and so I'm not going to rehash all that now, but here in these first two verses of this psalm are two keys to finding joy in online church. And these same two keys should equally make us long for in-person gatherings. But firstly, they rejoiced because they were going to the house of the Lord. This was the destination that they were waiting for after the long journey to Jerusalem, walking the treacherous path that we looked at last week with Psalm 121. But now they have arrived. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. This is the home of God where his presence dwelt, the strong tower of his protection and his provision. But as we know from our recent series in the book of Ezekiel, God's presence is not limited to a space and to a certain place. He meets with his people by his Spirit. But our intention tonight is the same as the pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. We want to spend time in God's place with God's people singing God's praise. Now, that's what we're doing with online church. Church's not an event, it's not a building, it's a gathering of God's people. And he is here. He is there with you. This is real church. He is the one who draws us together by his Spirit. He's the reason that we can rejoice. We celebrate him. We turn our eyes to him. We set our hearts on him. We sing to him, pray to him, listen to him. And so it's good that you've joined us. Sing, pray, listen. Ask God to speak and to stir your heart. And tune in again next week. There is joy to be found in online church because God is central. And he gives the joy. And it's the same when we can gather in person because God will still be central. What matters online, it matters in person. But there is something sacred about the church space. And not sacred in that we can't eat food in here or tell a joke for fear of offending God. But sacred in that we've set aside a physical space. We've set aside this place to gather for worship. And don't get me wrong, we could meet anywhere. And this building is not a magical place where God shows up. But there is something significant in dedicating a place, setting it aside to a place where God is honored and his people are assembled together. So in the coming months, we look forward to seeing this place filled with joyful worshipers, people who say, let's go to the house of the Lord, eager and expectant to encounter God. So firstly, our joy is of the Lord. But secondly, our joy is with others. David rejoiced with those who said, let's go to the house of the Lord. It's that time of the year when it's a good time to jump on a sporting bandwagon. As the season ends, you pick your team, you pick the team that's winning, and then you get to join in the celebrations. A friend posted on Facebook last night, he said this, my team won. 10 days of loyal support has paid off. 10 days of loyal support has paid off. Which in light of Melbourne's 57-year premiership drought, is quite well timed to jump on the bandwagon. I'm not sure how much they can really enjoy the victory after 10 days of being a supporter, but it's exciting to be part of something bigger, of being in it together. Part of the joy in doing church online is that we do it together. I love seeing the numbers go up and the comments in the chat, not because I care about the numbers, but because I know that the numbers are people. People is why I turn up on a Sunday night. I'm not interested in listening to my own voice and my attempts to sound smart or be funny. No, I'm here because I want to connect with people. Engaging online isn't easy, and I get that. But we are in this together. This is live. It's real. It's done by Night Church for Night Church. And we pick the songs with you guys in mind. We pray with your needs in mind. I wrote this sermon for you, not for a generic group of people. So who can you invite next week? Or who can you give a friendly reminder to? Who can you share with? Maybe something you've learned, something that you loved about tonight. And not just Sundays, but what you've been reading during the week. What do you need prayer for? Are you in a life group? Are you keeping in touch with people? How can we remind each other that we are doing this together? We rejoice primarily because of God and who He is, but we also rejoice because we do church together. Online church is a vehicle for that, but there is something about being in the same space, in the same room. And so if you're longing for in-person church, well, me too. Me too. I want to walk through the doors and say, hey, let's worship together. Let's do this. So if you're tired, are you tired of online church, or are you simply longing for in-person gatherings, we'll know that there is joy to be found right here, right now in what we're doing. And maybe we need to return our focus to God first and foremost, that is where our joy is found. And maybe we need to ensure that we are engaging in this and doing it together. Because this hour on a Sunday night, it's important. It's a priority. The gathering with God's people has to be a priority, whether it's a Sunday service or a life group, a prayer meeting, or some informal catch-up, whether in person or online or on the phone, has to be a priority. And it's something that I learned as a kid. I saw it in my family. We were always at church on Sunday. We were always at youth on Friday. We went to church meetings and events. My parents were in a small group. We planned our calendar around all of these things. Maybe that wasn't your upbringing. Maybe you're wondering, well, what is the significance of church community? Or why worship even matters? Well, that's what verses 3 and 4 are all about. This is verse 3. It says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. A carefully crafted city. Each stone set in place. The meticulous plan and construction of the temple sitting right at its center. It was a city knitted together and bound firmly in place. It was true of the physical foundations of the city, but sadly scarcely true of the people who called it home. The unity expressed in the metaphor was rarely a reality. That's why Jesus said of it in Luke chapter 13, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, look, your house is left to you desolate. You can also read about it in John chapter 4. Duncan has unpacked this section so well in the morning service sermon, so I'm not going to try and do that right now, but please check them out on YouTube. John chapter 4, though, has this conversation between Jesus and a Samaritan woman about where people should worship, whether in Jerusalem or in Samaria. But despite these kind of issues across Israel's history, the closely compacted together city of Psalm 122 was always the intention. This was a meeting place, a sanctuary, a refuge and stronghold, a place of unity, a place of worship. But firstly, unity in verse 4. This is where the tribes go up. This is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. The tribes of Israel would all travel up to Jerusalem to worship, each tribe distinctive, but united by the Lord. There is unity, but not uniformity. And this is a big deal about the people of God, united, but not uniform. The church is a community for all ethnic backgrounds, of all walks of life, no matter what sporting team or political party you support. The unifying factor is Jesus and nothing else. That is the beauty of the church. All are welcome to come and to worship. And to borrow a line from Jesus about marriage, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The tribes of the Lord are brought together by him, and the church of Jesus is brought together by him. Our political climate is so polarized right now, and our social fabric is being torn apart. We're pitted against one another. There are those who are in and those who are out. The church has to look different to that. We can't buy into that culture. We need to stand firm in that. The church isn't a club. It's a community of those who are seeking to follow Jesus. United by him. His death is our death. We die to sin and to guilt and to shame. And his life is our life. We live in the power of the resurrection. We don't unify the church. Jesus does. So church is a big deal. Just as Jerusalem was a place of unity, well, so is the church. And just as Jerusalem was a place of worship, well, so is the church. It's the response to our unity in Christ. Our shared experience of salvation is the song that we sing. In verse 4, this is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. The tribes gather to worship. The churches are worshiping people. That's the reason that we exist, to praise the name of the Lord. Not to build our reputation or raise our influence, not to build a bigger church or raise our name, but to declare the glory and the wonder of Jesus' name, to give him honor and praise. We do it because he's worth it, whether we feel like it or not. Again, verse 4, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. The statute of praise is decreed. It's required. It's a command. I remember as a kid being asked by my parents to clean up my room or do my homework. And these requests, well, they weren't really a request. It was a requirement. They weren't asking what I felt like doing. And there are plenty of times in life when we don't feel like worshiping. We don't feel like obeying God's word or praying to him or going to church. We don't feel like singing. We think we'd be dishonest to praise God when we don't feel it. But this psalm says, I don't care whether you feel like it or not. It's a command. Praise the name of the Lord. Our culture is so driven by feeling, so obsessed with an experience, an emotion. And if it doesn't feel right, well, then we give up. But if we only worship when we feel like it, well, what kind of church would we be? What kind of follower of Jesus would we be? Imagine being a Melbourne supporter only when they're winning. But that's 57 years of your life that you would have wasted waiting for it to feel right. Now, sometimes the worship music the Christians write, it doesn't help. When it emphasizes experience rather than what Jesus has already done. Or when it focuses on how we feel rather than on who God faithfully is. We've bought into the idea that we need to feel it before we can sing it. It's only real. We've bought into this idea that it's only real when the sensations that we experience match our words or our heart's desire. As Eugene Peterson writes in the book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, he says, we think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God says something different. We let feelings take the lead and then respond to them with actions. But that was never the intention. Again, Peterson says, worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. Worship is an act that develops feelings for God. See that way around? Not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. I love how the Message version puts this verse. It says, give thanks to the name of God, but this is what it means to be Israel. Give thanks because this is what it means to be Israel. It's not a burden on your back. It's simply being who you were meant to be. It's not another task to do or a box to tick. It's as basic as breathing. And it's central to who you are. We are made to worship. And when we obey the command to praise, when we walk in the way that we are made to live, we find our true selves. We find meaning and purpose. We find ourselves rejoicing. We find ourselves right where we were meant to be. Worship unlocks a door for us to experience all that God has for us. So are you looking for peace or security or a little bit of both? Well, that's where verses 5 to 9 come into it. This is verse 5. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As the Israelite pilgrims reached their destination, they longed for all that God had to offer, a promise of peace, security, prosperity. His judgment, his justice is the path to peace and security. And Jerusalem stood there as emblematic of that promise, their fortified stronghold, the home of God's presence. And within this little prayer, in verses 5 to 9, there's a little play on words there. The Hebrew words for peace, security, and prosperity, they all sound like Jerusalem in Hebrew. Peace, security, and prosperity. We don't pursue these things, though. Our priority is not peace and prosperity. Our priority is praise. Worship is the proclamation that all those things we're looking for peace, security, and prosperity, that they are all found in God. He is the provider and giver. He is the wall around you that gives you peace. He is the tower above you that gives security. And prosperity, well, it's not about bank balances or accumulating more stuff. It's a deep trust that God is at the center, that he is in control. So stop chasing peace. Stop claiming security. Stop trying to earn prosperity. Instead, prioritize praise. Make it your habit and rest in what God has already done in Jesus. Worship is where we find our joy, whether we're gathering in person or online. Our relationship with God is what brings us together in unity with a purpose to praise. And in Him, in Jesus, we find peace. He is our security. Worship is what we were made for. It's of most importance. It leads us to who God is. It reminds us of what he's done, draws our hearts toward him, sets our minds on him, fixes our eyes on him. And that is where we long to be. So come. Come and worship. Come and bow down. Come and lay your life down. Let's draw near to God's throne and find all that we need in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word speaks to us in whatever situation we are in. Lord, help us to find joy in worship. That we would prioritize praise above all other things. That we would seek you first, look to you first, and find all the things that we're longing for, all these things that we're looking for, that we would find them in you. And Lord, we thank you that you are the one who unifies us together. Lord, help us to stand in that unity, that you are the bond that we have. Because of your death, your resurrection, that is the thing that we share together. That is what we live in response to. God, be working in this church, in our hearts, that we would stand as your people and that we would declare your praise. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.